When you have a job, it's actually very costly to commit crime, because if you are arrested and incarcerated, you are going to lose your job. But once you lose your job, if you are unemployed, actually you have very little to lose.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. We're back in Brazil this week. Most recently, we were discussing what it takes to get hired or promoted in Brazil. Well, this time, we're talking about what happens when people lose their jobs. A recent paper explores the impact of job losses and the policies to help people who've lost those jobs on crime in Brazil. Diogo Brito and Paulo Pinotti of Bocconi University are two of the authors, and they join me now. Diogo, welcome.
Hello, Tim.
And Paulo, welcome as well.
Hi, Tim.
This takes us back, doesn't it? Gary Becker, the idea that working in a job and earning money from criminal activity, they can just substitute for each other.
Sure. So this was actually the key insights from the work of Gary Becker in the late 60s. So Gary Becker was later awarded the Nobel Prize for this and other contributions. So to look at criminal behavior through the lens of economic activity. Mm-hmm. Up to that moment, criminals were sometimes treated like weirdos, right? So people that make absurd choices compared to other individuals. The fundamental idea of Gary Becker was that any other person, they decide about committing a crime or not by comparing the expected benefits and costs from this activity. So when you have a job, it's actually very costly to commit crime, because if you are arrested and incarcerated, you are going to lose your job, you are going to lose the legitimate earnings from that job, and so on and so forth. But once you lose your job, if you are unemployed, actually you have very little to lose. At that point, it becomes more attractive to commit crime. So that's the fundamental idea that motivates our work.
But, Diogo, we've known about this for half a century now, and labor economists have been discussing this link between jobs and crime for a long time. So why don't we have better empirical evidence to answer these questions now?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this has been a question that I think many social scientists, they were interested for very long, right, between the relationship between unemployment and crime. So a lot of studies this question, but using aggregated data and looking at what happens to crime rates in some areas when the unemployment rate goes up. But I'd say that more recently, we started having access to better data and being able to track the employment of at the individual level and looking at the criminal activity of workers. And this allowed us to make much more detailed work along these lines. For example, if you look at these older evidence, one interesting thing is that these studies, they tend to find a very small relationship between unemployment and crime. Now, many of them actually find zero effects on crime. And this might be because of many reasons. And when you're looking at aggregate data, it's much harder to investigate in details this question. For example, if some local areas experience high unemployment rates, you might have the central government that comes in and offering more money to put in social and welfare benefits that could counteract a bit these effects. Or at the same time, on the other hand, you could have the police who have less resources and could have harder time at fighting crime. So, you know, interpreting these results, there are many channels at play when you look at more aggregated data. And I think this is the step forward that more recent studies like us were able to do.
So if the task is to establish this causal relationship from job loss to criminal behavior, rather than this, as you say, tenuous aggregate relationship, what additional data do we need?
Individual level data, they are much more useful in this respect because they actually allow us to compare many individuals within the same area. They experience the same conditions in terms of aggregate economic activity or police presence, police enforcement that Yogo was mentioning. But at the same time, some of these people, they are going to be displaced from the labor market. They are going to lose their job. And some other people are not within the same local area. So we are going to be comparing people, again, experiences the same external conditions, but a different employment status. And of course, this is much more useful for this type of analysis.
And is this disaggregated data? This is available in Brazil?
Yeah, so in our case, we have been able to access this type of data. But I mean, I think we must say that it wasn't like data available off the shelf, right? So Brazil had for many years individual level data for the population of employment. You could track where they have been over the years, which job, which firm, how much money they were earning. But there was a lack of data on crime. You know, especially when you try need to aggregate that for all Brazilian states, each of them have a different criminal system. They have a different police so that they are managed independent. So we managed that through a partnership with a company that collected this data from the whole Brazil and asked us to conduct this study with such great level of detail.
When you're doing this analysis, do you have to be careful about why people lost their jobs? I'm imagining that if someone got sacked for dishonesty, well, they're pretty likely to show up again in the crime figures, and that's going to distort the results, isn't it?
Absolutely. So this is precisely the reason why we just focus on people that were displaced during a mass layoff, right? So mass layoffs are major events at the local level in which at least 30% or 50% of the workforce of a given firm or a given company are displaced from the labor market just because some plant shuts down or things like that. In that case, this is clearly an event that doesn't depend on the propensity to commit crime of any specific worker in the labor market. It just happens because, I don't know, there was some collapse of economic activity or there was some competition from another company or things like that. So you have like dozens or hundreds of people that are fired sometimes overnight, and we just compare the criminal behavior of these workers with the criminal behavior of other workers that, again, are in the same area. They experience similar conditions, but they are working in another firm.
So what impact on economically motivated crime does job loss create?
Yeah, so we analyze really like many types of crime, and you can dive into like very fine categories. And essentially, we find an increase. I mean, the strongest increase are for the category, the broad category of economic motivated crimes. Mm-hmm. And if you dig into it, you're going to find effects on essentially all subcategories, even going from robberies and, for example, drug trafficking, which are crimes that have a larger degree of incidence. But you also find somewhat more sophisticated stuff, such as these people are being more likely to be caught for the trade of illegal goods, or they might be involved in frauds against the government. So we see an increase like all over the board for mainly all types of economically motivated crimes.
You said you tracked all types of crime. What about other crimes as well? Crimes of violence, for example, did they go up?
Yes, they do. And that's actually a pretty surprising result, or at least a result that goes beyond the Becker model that I was mentioning before, right? Because the Becker model is really about comparing money, the expected economic returns from illegal or legal activities, while we find that also purely violent crimes, like homicides that are not connected to committing a robbery, right? But just for the sake of committing violence or sexual offenses or other type of violent crimes or even traffic violations or things like that, they increase after being filed. Again, this goes beyond the Becker's model. It's not just economic motivation, but it's more probably stress related to the fact of having lost your job or something like that. So we found this actually pretty interesting compared to previous work. And probably one advantage of our Brazilian data is that they are so detailed and they cover the universe of the Brazilian population. So they allow us to also estimate precisely this effect, which there was no evidence about in previous studies.
These are very interesting results. And as you say, very large effects. We then have to think about what policy can do about it. Clearly, the most obvious policy to think about is unemployment insurance and whether that has a mitigating effect. What sort of unemployment insurance is there for workers who lose their job in this way in Brazil?
Yeah, so there is some support in terms of unemployment insurance in Brazil. And I'd say that overall, that's roughly comparable to what you find in countries like the US. So workers in Brazil, eligible workers to unemployment benefits, they can access up to 5 months of unemployment benefits. And while they are on benefits, they receive an amount which is about of 80% of their salary before they lose their jobs. So it's, you know, in terms of generosity, it's fairly reasonable compared to other countries, I'd say.
And so we would expect from the Becker model that this would offset any rise in crime for the time that was available. What results did you find? And given that these benefits last for 5 months, how long did those results last?
Well, so it seems that once again, Becker was right, because we actually detect about a 20-25% increase in the probability of committing crime after a job loss. And then guess what? Workers that can benefit from unemployment insurance, they don't experience this increase in crime. Only workers that are not covered by unemployment insurance, they increase the probability of committing crime, right? But at the same time, also those that are covered by unemployment insurance, they do not commit crime only during these 5 months over which they are covered by unemployment insurance. So as soon as the unemployment insurance is exhausted, basically you don't go back to having zero income, then they also start committing crime in the same way as the other unemployed workers do. Unemployment insurance is good. It can, you know, attenuate or even eliminate the negative effect of job loss, but it's just a transitory effect. As soon as it's exhausted, then we are back to a very dangerous situation.
I think it matches really well to some interesting evidence on how workers consume out of their unemployment benefits. No, so in other studies from the US and also from Brazil, we see that workers, they tend to spend what they receive in unemployment benefits quite fast, as they spend also other money that they receive. And when they exhaust unemployment benefits, the level of consumption, they consume about 20% less, and there is a very sharp change. And this matches really well what you find in the data in terms of crime. Now, you see this crime reduction for those receiving unemployment benefits, but it spikes back again to the level of workers not receiving unemployment benefits really as soon as they expire access to, the government stopped giving them unemployment benefits when they run out of it.
These are very clear results, and they're certainly strong evidence for something. But specifically within economic theory, what are they strong evidence for? What are they strong evidence against?
Overall, they are consistent with the Becker's model, with economic explanation. But at the same time, the prevalence of purely violent crimes among displaced workers also points at the importance of more behavioral effect, like psychological stress and something that goes beyond purely economic motivation. At the same time, they do not really support the importance of leisure time. One potential explanation of our results is, well, you lose your job, you basically have a lot of leisure time, you don't have anything to do the whole day, so maybe you have higher probability of running into some type of criminal opportunity, right? So this was an hypothesis that was mentioned in the past that we tried to confront with the data, but we don't find any evidence supporting this hypothesis.
This really does seem to be evidence, certainly, for policy to help sacked workers. What kind of policies would help in this case?
Yeah, so I think the first message in terms of policy for unemployment benefits is, I mean, this is one of the very first and I think compelling evidence that offering these workers with unemployment benefits can effectively mitigate crime, reduce crime following job loss, at least while they are receiving this money. And we also have a message for which workers are the most at risk, right? So in the paper, you find that those who increase by the most crime are those who are young workers who are displaced with short tenure. These guys, they also have access to little money, little severance payment when they are displaced, and unemployment benefits help them the most. So like the policy could also be concentrated on this type of people who are the most at risk. And I think more generally, it supports different job insurance policies, right, offering transfers to displaced individuals, especially at the onset of unemployment when they are most likely to be liquidity constrained, not able to consume and lack resources in general.
Also, job training, because of course, unemployment benefits, they attenuate the effect of job loss, but we cannot keep workers on unemployment benefits forever. Maybe one missing piece of policy in Brazil is that the same way as in other countries. Like in my country, in Italy, we don't have employment centers that are very effective in helping people to go back to the job market. They remain on benefits for a few months, but then these benefits expire and still they don't have a job. Maybe we could make unemployment benefits conditionaling on taking some job training and, you know, investing your time in increasing your human capital or things like that. I think this is a missing piece of policy in Brazil and also in other countries.
It's a wonderful example of how access to better data can help policymakers make better policy. So let's hope they're listening to this. Let's hope they're reading the paper. Paulo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Diogo, thank you as well.
Thanks a lot. Our pleasure.
The paper is called The Effect of Job Loss and Unemployment Insurance on Crime in Brazil. And the authors are Diogo Brito, Paulo Pinotti, and Breno Sampaio. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use. You'll find us there. And our past episodes with articles about the papers we feature are always at voxdev.org.